Checking in today with Notably Texan is a Texas singer-songwriter whose talents have been tapped by a virtual who's who of Austin's finest. Bob Schneider, Matt the Electrician, Beaver Nelson, John D. Graham, they've all recruited her vocal and collaborative talents over the years, and rightfully so. Her emotive voice not only packs a punch, but also soothes the soul and tantalizes the senses. She recorded for a time with her jazz band Torch, and she's an accomplished solo artist who just independently released her sixth record, Track You Down, which ranges from pop to gospel and alternative to heartfelt ballad. I'm excited to learn more about her during our discussion today. On the phone from Austin is Sela. Thanks a lot for joining Notably Texan today.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I want to learn more about you here, and we're going to play some of your music for folks that have not caught you in our playlists here. But I was kind of interested to hear a little bit about your journey to Texas, because I understand that your parents immigrated from India to Canada, where you were born and raised. So how long have you been in Texas now?
Well, actually, yeah, my parents came to Canada in the 60s. I was born there, and my sister before me. And we left Canada and moved to basically right across the border to upstate New York when I was about 9.
I see.
But I was still very much a Canadian kid. And I moved around a lot growing up, but came to Texas, maybe 20-some years ago, without dating myself too much. But I just sort of wanted something completely opposite of what I had had.
Sure.
And I, you know, had spent my whole life in the Northeast and had a few unpleasant experiences. And I'm a firm believer that you can run away from your problems if your problems are a person or a place. So that's what I did. And my cousin lived down here and got wind that I was looking for some place to relocate. And she sent me a bunch of Austin Chronicles.
Okay.
And that was really smart. And so I flipped through those and was like, I got to go there. That place sounds cool.
Right. And gosh, you've been here so long now. I guess I would think you consider yourself a Texan at this point.
Oh, yeah. I bought a house.
Oh, yeah. So it's official.
I'm paying property taxes. It's official.
Right. Okay. Well, that's cool. What a cool story. And we're so glad that you did make your way here to Texas. You know, I'm sure that was a bit of a culture shock for a bit, but I have no doubt that you found your groove here. Obviously, you have, because you hooked up with all the right people in music.
Well, Austin's definitely a place that is forgiving and letting you take your time kind of finding your groove. So
right.
I was lucky that way.
Well, you've definitely landed in the right spot. So I'm curious, did your parents instill a love for music, or did you kind of discover that on your own?
They must have. They were subtle with it. They certainly didn't discourage it. I mean, I could listen to whatever I wanted as loud as I wanted.
Okay.
And long drives in the car, we'd be like, Dad, put this in. I mean, there was never any sort of rivalry for that. I think eventually he got us Walkmans.
Yeah, well, right.
But, you know, it was that kind of thing, and they never looked at it as anything but good for us. So whether they necessarily knew the names of the bands that we were really into, sometimes they did, but I know, you know, as kids, your taste bops around like crazy.
Oh, of course.
But you know, my parents would happily listen to Top 40 radio.
Did they try to influence you with any of their own favorites?
No, I mean, I think that they were influenced by all the stuff we listened to.
Okay.
You know, my parents are Indian, and films are really popular in India. It's a huge film industry there. And a lot of those films are musicals.
Right.
So, you know, they grew up really being into that.
Sure.
Kind of thing. And so, you know, having a nice stereo system that always had records or music coming out of it was not a weird thing. We listened to American Top 40 every weekend, and we bought records, and that was fine. You know, spending our money buying records was fine.
So you showed up in the music capital of the world with, as so many people do, kind of little more than an instrument and a dream. So how did you kind of start inserting yourself into the music scene?
That's hilarious. I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I got here. I mean, the fact that it was such a music-y town drew me in because I was a huge music fan, and it was such a part of my life. And I thought I'd find my people that way, you know, people who turned each other on to different music, obscure stuff and what have you. I did not actually come here to play music.
Okay.
That sort of happened by accident.
Really?
I was left alone in a house several daylight hours in a week with a guitar and a four-track recorder.
Oh, that's dangerous.
And a broken television. And yeah, and I started writing and recording stuff. And again, that was not taken away from me. It wasn't that someone said, here, do this. You can do it. It's just the stuff was there. And as I did it, it was like, do more. You know, just really that kind of encouragement. And started writing songs, started going to open mics, heard about those things. Someone saying, you should really go to an open mic. And, okay.
Right. And it's just kind of in the air. It's in the air there in Austin, I mean, to make music.
Well, I'll tell you what's really in the air here is the community. You find your people. And that's what happened to me at the open mics. I found my people. And it's not a rivaling community. It's a really encouraging community. And I made some of the best friends I have in this town at places like Open Mic at the Cactus Cafe.
Awesome.
And I find the community to still be that way. When one of us is down, everybody rallies around and helps out. And this is a place where things like Sims Foundation and HAM started that other cities, other major cities are replicating.
Right.
And it's because of the community here that things like that can last and function for 20 plus years.
Now, I first heard you on Matt the Electrician recordings. I didn't realize mm-hmm. I was hearing you on there until I kind of dug around in the liner notes. But, you know, songs like Keep It There and I Will Do the Breathing. And just late last year, we met briefly at Austin's Cactus Cafe, the aforementioned, where you were performing as part of the Matt the Electrician trio. So I get the impression that you kind of like working with Matt.
Yeah, I actually, I had friends that were playing with him, and we shared a drummer. And I wanted to see who this guy was that John was playing with, because he really liked him. And I really liked him too, and started going to all of his shows. And he had debuted a new song. And I have this weird thing where if I really, really, really like a song, I know the whole song after hearing it once.
Wow.
That happens sometimes. They just kind of imprint on me. So I had showed up the next time and said, I can sing on that if you want. And Matt, being the kind of guy who's always sort of down for whatever, thought, sure, how bad could this be? So I started singing on that with the intention in the back of my head that, oh, when he records this, he's going to have me on it, because he's not going to be able to hear it without me.
Yeah.
It was a bonus to find out that when he went on tour, he was complaining to the drummer, like, dang it, now every time I hear that song, I hear Steelers.
Okay.
I'm in.
Nice.
And I started showing up to the shows and singing backup on other stuff, and eventually he asked me to join the band, which I thought was kind of weird since I was just showing up anyway and he was getting me for free. But
yeah.
He needed to know I was obligated to be there.
Right. So, got to have you on the hook some way.
Yeah. So it's been great. I've loved it. I've not only have I gotten to tour more with Matt, because, you know, Matt's footing the bill, and he's so prolific, and he's writing all the time, and just watching his writing evolve and just like leaps and bounds, and as he grows and gets older and his family grows up, and just his, you know, his songs are very autobiographical, and knowing the guy, and then also, you know, knowing some of the background of these songs, and it's been a lot of fun. Especially now, I'm loving the trio.
Absolutely.
The trio's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
You know, I know that you haven't done any recordings as the trio yet, but I hope that you do, because I thought it was really quite a joy to catch you doing that live.
Thanks.
Don't tell me a ghost story, 'cause I'm so tired. Don't wanna be haunted, wanna be inspired. Yeah, I wanna believe there's something more to look forward to.
Selah is my guest here on 88.9 KETR. So when I caught you at the Cactus Cafe, you were, of course, singing, but you were also playing some hand percussion with the trio, you and Little Brave, of course. So what all instruments do you play? You mentioned that you messed around with a guitar, and I know that you were, you know, utilizing these kind of obscure hand instruments, you know, that I can't even name, but I'm just curious what instruments you claim.
So we have what we call the box of tricks. I say we as me, my husband's a drummer. We have this blue suitcase we refer to as the box of tricks, and
okay.
It's various small percussion things that fit into this suitcase that we've collected over time. So I play whatever's in there. There's various shakers and a couple of bells. There's some tambourines. There's two rototom things like that you would mount rototoms to.
Okay.
If you clang them together, they sound pretty great.
Oh, awesome.
Every once in a while, something else gets thrown in there. I play guitar. I've been playing guitar for a very long time. I should be better. All my records, it's me playing guitar. I play a little bit of mandolin. I've done a couple of tours with Matt playing bass.
Working on that jack of all trades thing with all these instruments then.
Yeah, you know, I write and record at home, and it's just me. And so I can kind of Frankenstein my way through enough stuff to write. But when I record and when I play live, I usually try to get other people to do the heavy lifting.
Understood.
I play acoustic guitar, so I have something to do with my hands.
I want to go back to your 2013 album, Valentine. I picked out this tune, okay. Coffee at Night. Can I assume from that lyric that you're a bit of a night owl?
No, actually,
really?
You shouldn't do that.
Okay.
No, that was actually, there's a thing we call the song game, where you get a title, and you have to have the song written and recorded by the end of the week. And if you listen to that song, if you listen to the lyrics, to all you, it's not
yes,
me.
Yes, I follow
I'm
what you're saying.
I'm talking about someone else. So that song is about an actual person, but it's not me.
You miss your old outline, you miss your record player, had phones and carpet, cardboard and paper. You knew which one you wanted to be, and you were singing along in the passenger seat. Now you're out of touch and a little uptight, sleeping through.
Sela's new record is called Track You Down. Sela, I feel like this new album kind of has you branching out to all sorts of different styles, and I know that you're known for sort of your eclectic nature, but I was just wondering if you approached the new record any differently from previous albums.
Not really. I mean, I always see that written, that I have that word eclectic as far as style goes, and I mean, I trust whoever writes that must be true. I'm not really hearing it, but... Yeah, because I'm just writing, and they just come out how they come out. I think with this one, I got to work with Britton Beisenherz, who did the Daniel Thomas Phipps record, An Offering. And when I heard Daniel's record, I literally couldn't listen to anything else for 6 months. All I did was listen to that record. I was so into it. I looked up the guy who made the record, Britton Beisenherz, who has a studio out in Wimberley. And I knew, and this was years before I'd made Track You Down, I knew, like, my next record I'm making with this guy.
Okay.
Because I just loved all of his sounds. I thought his sounds were great. And Britton just seemed to understand what we were doing. And, you know, we would work all day and drive home, you know, work all day and into the evening at Britton's place, and then go get something to eat for dinner, drive home, maybe watch a little TV. And then we would go to bed and just, like, the last peek at our phones and see that Britton had put up these mixes.
Oh, wow.
And they were 90% there. If there's any sort of like a new direction kind of sound in that, I would say between Britton Beisenherz and Anthony DaCosta, who has such a signature sound as a guitarist and as a singer, you know, I love working with people that have a real kind of signature sound and sort of like a absorbing some of that for myself and my own selfish purposes.
Right.
You know, so that would be the consistent factors in the records would be those two things.
Well, that's cool. And I've noticed that the common theme on this new album, Track You Down, if I'm not mistaken, kind of seems to be faith as the common thread throughout the songs.
Yeah, it just kind of turned out that way. I just started writing that way a lot and thought that couldn't be, you know, a coincidence.
Right.
So I figured I should put all those things together on an album and let them serve whatever purpose it is they're supposed to serve, you know.
I picked out more of a down-tempo number, the stirring one, Love Burned Me Down. I wondered if you had any insight on this. I know that it's sometimes offensive to artists to ask you to explain, you know, what it means or anything like that, but I just wondered if there was any insight into the song or the production or any comment that you had about Love Burned Me Down.
Yeah, first off, I appreciate your sensitivity to that. That's great. But no, I'd love to talk about any of those songs on there. That Love Burned Me Down was kind of an attempt to write a psalm. I guess I was kind of reading through the Psalms a lot and was very attracted to the ones, I guess they're mostly David in the wilderness, and a lot of them are just, it sounds like he's just on his knees and just like groaning, you know, he's just like, he couldn't even put into words sometimes. And a lot, some of those Psalms, he's saying, I can't even put into words how horrible I feel. I was really, really drawn to that would be in the Bible for us to read, to see this man, this king, reduced to that. And I thought that was really beautiful that God called us to come to him in that moment, in that kind of way. So I wanted to write a psalm, and that's what that was. That was just sort of me in wherever place I was, kind of using the pattern of the psalm as a way to write something.
Love Burn Me Down. That is music from Selah from her latest album titled Track You Down. I tracked down Selah today. She is in, if I'm not mistaken, in South Austin checking in from her home today. And I'm really enjoying talking to you, Selah. I wanted to see if you would be willing to talk a little bit about public radio, why it's important to you, and why you think listeners need to back it financially.
Public radio is important to me because it is evidence and encouragement to me that people still care about music, they still care about art, they care about the community. You can do so much with a little bit of a monthly contribution to public radio. I contribute to my local public radio station that I listen to constantly. It's always on in my car. Unlike commercial radio that has a million reasons to play certain music that have nothing to do with music, public radio is usually run and supported by people who were those music fanatics that you knew in school and that just haven't changed. And those are the people that, like, introduce you to new stuff. They keep things fresh. They keep the idea of discovering music fun and important in your life, which it is. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the agenda that's totally based around how great it is to have music in our lives and not something else.
Thank you so much for your time today. Where can folks find you online, by the way, if they want to track down your tour schedule and the like?
My website is imselah.com, sort of like I am legend, but it's I'm Selah.
And that's
imselah.com.
Oh, sorry.
yeah, and I'm on Facebook, and yeah, and I'll be playing at the Saxon Pub at the end of May and various other things.
All right, I'm going to play you out. My pleasure. I'm going to play you out with the title cut from Track You Down. Here's Selah on KETR.
Rocks and shells, I'm remembered again. I'm sleeping in while the sun burns off the fog.